Time now for something we started when the show began 10 years ago. That is our high school roundtable on Thursdays. We will start out with the Chief. Dave, how are you? Great to have you with us.
Hey, it's great to be here and survived all the rain yesterday. And it sure is one of those stellar days out there this afternoon.
Sure is. It sounds like tomorrow's going to feel like high school football weather, which is great. Dave, they didn't score last week. Shikellamy did not score. But, you know, did you see signs that they can get an offense in gear?
Well, they got the offense in gear several times in the second half. They just shot themselves in the foot four times with three fumbles and interception. And that showed me that, you know, if they can keep hold of the ball, that they could put the ball in the end zone. I thought from the third quarter on that the defense really picked it up, and the offense, you know, started to pick up some yardage. In fact, I think total yards for both teams were relatively about the same. So, they got four kids in the backfield that run 4.5 in the 40, and most of those kids weigh 165 to 180 pounds. So, they're going to get the ball in the end zone. They will.
So defensively, you talk about you saw that sign too. They kept them in the game defensively. How did they do it?
First of all, I will tell you where their weakness was. It was in the pass defense last week. In the first half and part of the third quarter, Central Mountain really took advantage of our – it wasn't that our players were out of position, but they just – didn't take the initiative to make the move where the receiver was. And I'm sure that Coach Kaiser will straighten that out this week. As far as the line goes, I thought that Curtis Raker and Alex Geiser and Caleb Kashner, who came into the game, Caleb came in a little bit later, did a nice job of stopping the run, and they put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. You know, make a lot of mistakes. It was a wet night, and it was humid. But I think our kids, at the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, we're in much better shape because things started to go our way at the line of scrimmage.
We always talk about the game one to game two improvement. Because, look, especially when there's only one scrimmage. I mean, does that become even more profound because there's only one scrimmage?
I would think so. I just know that. I remember my coach Purnell used to always say, "You never realize that we were that bad, or you never realize we're that good as we go from the first game to the next game," and that seems to be he always said that was where you made the most improvement. And I would imagine that if you didn't have two scrimmages, that it would probably be even more of an improvement on behalf. Especially trying to get everybody on the same line as far as the mesh point when and the handoffs and get the receivers and the quarterbacks in the right route and blocking assignments. My gosh, I know these kids work all year long, but in the heat of the battle, you got to have a couple of snaps underneath you so you know where to go and who to block and when you're supposed to do it. So after a week of probably missing some blocks and missing some assignments, I'm sure the linemen worked hard on it this week and they'll try to get things straightened out.
There were always a couple of Joe sayings. One was, you're never as good as you think you are and you win. You're never as bad as you think you are when you lose. He also said all the time, you either get better or get worse. You never stay the same.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, Dave, what are the numbers like for Shikellamy participation-wise? Are they down a bit, or are they stabilized, or are they up?
I think they stabilized this year. Last year with a new coach, you get a couple more kids that come out just to see how things are and how things are going to be. They might have a couple of fewer players on the sideline. I'm looking between 32 and 35 kids. I would think those kids are there because they want to be there, not just because they're intrigued with what's going to happen with the new coach. So I think our numbers are pretty solid. A lot of people don't know this, but right before the game started in warmups, Rashawn Martin, I think, broke his finger, and he was the starting wide receiver, and he was also the starting corner. So, you know, Coach Kaiser and his staff had to get a kid ready to play between warming up and the national anthem, and I'm sure that took a little bit of time, too. I'm hoping Rashawn can get back because he's got a lot of experience. So when you only have 32, 35 kids, every kid counts.
Dave, always a pleasure. Thanks so much, my friend. Great to have you with us, and good luck with the broadcast tomorrow night.
Well, good luck, and I envy you going out to Wisconsin. I think game day for ESPN is going to be out there too. So that's going to be an awesome atmosphere, and you and Jack are going to do a good job, I know, calling that game. And I appreciate everything you guys do for Penn State. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. That means a lot. Thank you so much. Zach Showers is actually first. Hello, Zach.
Hey, Steve, are you there this time?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact. I am here. I've been sitting here the entire time.
So am I.
What a coincidence. Zach, nothing last week for Selins Grove. This has been a program that over the years has produced a lot of points. It's you know, I mean, they've played like the Wild West over the years. How frustrating was last week?
It was very frustrating. It was a lot of the same from last year. Defense really did its job, held a pretty good Pottsville team in check. And offense was able to move the ball. When they moved the ball, they would, you know, the line had a couple of false start penalties that pushed them back when they were ahead of down and distance, and still working in a new sophomore quarterback when you have a couple inches of rain that fall in 2 hours was just a very difficult time. So it was frustrating. They were able to move the ball on the ground a little bit more. Brandon Heil, who's back and ready for a big season this year, had a pretty good night, and Tucker Teets, who's a sophomore, had close to 80 yards rushing, most of that in the second half. So it was nice to see a little bit of depth there, and hopefully they can correct some of those things with looking at film and just see some improvement this week and moving forward.
Is this a question of the skill players? Because if you're playing well defensively, which they have last year and this year, normally it means you're pretty good up front, and a lot of times that translates to being pretty good up front offensively because some of these guys can play both ways. So is it more on the skill players at this point?
I would say a little bit. I would say the running backs right now with Heil and Teets and a couple different guys at fullback are pretty solid. They're working in a freshman wide receiver who's got a ton of talent, but it's also just learning that game. And then there's not a lot of height at wideout. There's some talent there, but not always a good combination when you have a sophomore quarterback and you have small windows to throw to. So right now there is some inexperience at wideout and tight end. But, you know, up front, those guys also have to just be a little bit more consistent working in some new starters.
So I asked this to Dave, and I'll ask this to Greg as well. Greg was actually the one that influenced this question for me. You know, after the last, look at the last two or three years, how are the numbers participation-wise at Selins Grove? The same, a little bit better, a little bit worse? Where are they right now?
I would say they went down the last two or three years. They're right up. I actually looked at the roster after I heard that question, and we're sitting right around 50. There's a couple freshmen that are on the team. So they are up. I would say they're up a couple from last year. And they've relatively stabilized. They're nothing like the state championship year for Selins Grove, where I think they had close to 80 kids out that year. But overall, they're right around 50, enough that there's some depth in the younger grades.
Zach, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time today. Great to have you with us again.
Hey, thank you.
And now with Greg Wetzel, who influenced that question last week. Greg, what did you say? Lewisburg is what, about 30 kids right around there?
33 kids about. Yeah.
So is it about the same, up, down?
It's about the same. The problem this year is they had four kids that played a lot of football last year that didn't come out this year. So that really hurts depth-wise, you know. Lewisburg starting two freshmen who probably could have used a little time to get adjusted to the high school, you know. But that's the way things are right now. Some of them are working, some of them are doing other things, and That's the way life goes right now, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
I think they'll regret it, Steve, when they're 35, 40 years old.
I do, too, because that's something I do tell my class, you know, in terms of attempting to get into this business. I tell them all the time, I said, I want you to be 30, 35, 40, and have regrets you didn't try something.
That's right. Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, you're the one that at least saw some points, albeit three.
Yes, we did. Not many.
Albeit three. So where's the stalling point for Lewisburg's offense right now?
It's your offense and defensive line, Steve. Shamokin really controlled the line of scrimmage both ways, offensively and defensively. Yeah. They turned the ball over four times. Now, one of the times it was on Lewisburg's 1 yard line, but they turned the ball over four times and Lewisburg came away with 3 points. Lewisburg turned the ball over twice. When you win the turnover battle like that, and with field position that they got from those turnovers, normally you should win the football game. But they just couldn't do it the other night. They just couldn't generate. They had less than 100 yards of offense, total offense in the night.
Oh.
Yep.
Which I think puts a lot of onus on the defense to do two things, Greg. One is the obvious, that stop them. But B, I think it puts a greater onus on them to get takeaways to create short fields.
Exactly. You know, and Shamokin threw one pass all night, was intercepted by Lewisburg. Yeah. So every other play was a running play. They ran 23 more plays than Lewisburg ran on the night. And Lewisburg stopped them on fourth down twice. So that was almost like two more turnovers, essentially. And they just could not generate any offense. Like I said, the rushing totals for the evening were under 30 yards, and passing, they were just barely over 50 yards passing for the day. So they had receivers open. Quarterback didn't have a lot of time to throw, and he was thrown off his back foot, or he made the wrong read because he thought he was going to be in a hurry, and he threw into some coverage. But they have to get better play from their offense and defensive lines.
And, of course, that's a crusher because a couple of years ago when you and I were doing these segments, maybe Lewisburg wasn't winning a lot of games, but, boy, they could run the football. And now that they don't have that element, now they will have that element, it's a crusher.
It certainly is. And you know, you talk about numbers, and 33 sounds like a lot of kids, but, you know, 22 kids play. Then there's special teams with punting and kickoffs. Extra points. So those numbers are where they sound nice or good. That ideally they would like to be up around 40 to 45. It just makes it so much easier to manage the game, give some kids some breathers so they're not going both ways all the time, not on special teams all the time, that they can play some of the younger kids on special teams. And that's with these numbers. You're seeing some kids that don't come off the field because they're on the punt team, they're on the kickoff team, they're on the kickoff return team, and they're playing offense and defense. And that wears a body down, especially when it's in the hot, humid weather like it was last week.
Absolutely. Well, at least tomorrow night, it looks like it's going to feel like more like fall, which is
exactly.
Actually... What about attendance-wise? I mean, people come out when they finally get a chance?
Yeah, a nice crowd the other night. I would say Lewisburg probably had between 300 and 400 people there, and Shamokin, I would say Shamokin had close to 2,000 people there for the game. So yeah, it was good, a well attended game.
My friend, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, Steve, have a great day and have fun on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm doing the best I can, Greg. Do the best I can.
Okay. Yep. Take care.
All right, let's see if we can get some points up this week. Shamokin, Lewisburg in action on 100.9 The Valley. Eagle 107, of course, we'll have Sealands Grove. And here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Shikellamy and Loyal Sock will square off against one another. The Suit and the Chief will be together for that broadcast, which, by the way, will also air on our YouTube channel.